a good children's chat message for us all as we prepare our hearts to receive the word of the Lord in our hearts for transformation. Let us join together in prayer. Holy God, we walk by faith and not by sight. So guide our steps in your word today, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are kept from falling and find our way in your way. Through Christ we pray. Amen. On the second Sunday of the sermon series, Minor Prophets, Major Messages, we learn about the message that came from the prophet Zephaniah in chapter 3, verses 14 to 20. And although Zephaniah predicted the coming wrath of God upon the people of Judah, he also reminded them that God would make all things right. Let us listen to the word of the Lord together. A song of joy. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst, and you shall fear disaster no more. On that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. And he will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing, as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. And I will deal with all your oppressors at that time. And I will save the lame and gather the outcast. And I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home, at the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to Timothy, and this is found in chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. In this passage of Paul's letter, Paul warns Timothy to be wary of false teachers who share bad doctrine. Let us listen together what God would have us hear today. I urge you, as I did when I was on my way to Macedonia, to remain in Ephesus so that you may instruct certain people not to teach any different doctrine and not to occupy themselves with myths and endless genealogies that promote speculations rather than the divine training that is known by faith. But the aim of such instruction is love that comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. Some people have deviated from these and turned to meaningless talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make assertions. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, before you assume that the book of Zephaniah might be the exception to the gloom and doom written in most books of the prophets, let me assure you that there is the same level of judgment and condemnation within Zephaniah's prophecies as we might see in the words of any other prophet. But fortunately today, we hear only a message of hope, the only message of hope in the third and last chapter of Zephaniah. Within these six verses, we are reminded of God's promise to restore all the injustice and sinfulness that has fallen upon God's people. Ultimately, God will restore their relationships with one another and with him, and all in God's time. But until then, God gives numerous opportunities for the people of Judah to turn towards God by their own choice. And yet, again, the people of God refuse to listen. It's like a repeating text. God's people don't listen. God's people sin. A prophet condemns their behaviors. The people promise to repent and then fail. And the cycle continues on and on. Can you imagine what that must have felt like to the prophet to watch God's people disobey repeatedly? I think about what it would feel like to be ridiculed for sharing God's message with God's people. Maybe there was much loneliness. Maybe these prophets were bullied because they are obeying the word of God, and yet what they're saying isn't necessarily good news for the people of God. That stress upon the role of the prophet is revealed within many books of the Bible. In other sermons, we will continue to learn about this unique and challenging call upon a prophet. There must have been tremendous pressure upon the life of prophets like Hosea and Micah and Zephaniah to remain obedient to God when the words that they shared with God's people were difficult to hear. The prophet's role is best understood when we understand a bit of the cultural atmosphere surrounding the people before the birth of Christ. And just as there were faithful prophets in their midst doing their very best to obediently share the word of God, all around them were also people of deceit claiming to have the same prophetic ability. Other people were claiming to be God's prophets, but they were not telling the truth. Instead, they were sharing their own thoughts about the way in which God was asking God's people to live. The closest way we have to understanding the life of the Israelites is when we think about the voices of the prophets all around them. And why is this? Well, because even today, around us are people who are claiming to know God's will and instead are drawing upon their own opinions and conclusions. Paul and Timothy were dealing with it in their own communities. After warmly greeting Timothy in his first letter, Paul immediately advises Timothy to stop those teaching false doctrines. False prophets and fierce accountability have been a recurring thought on my mind this past week. You might blame it on some experiences I've had, and well, the fact that I've been preparing to teach a class that I taught yesterday for the commissioned lay pastors in our presbytery. The title of the class was Public Prayer and Public Discourse, and part of what I taught was the privilege that we all have and the responsibility that we have to speak words of truth within a Christian community. And just as difficult as it was for the Israelites to know whether a prophet like Zephaniah was honorable, or to know whether a missionary like Timothy was truly honest, well, even today, we must discern the words of men and women who speak on behalf of God Almighty. The word prophet is used within other religions, but not often in our Reformed tradition. We use words like minister and lay pastor and ruling elder and teaching elder, and yet all may be called upon to speak like a prophet. The biblical understanding of a prophet is someone who is inspired by God through the Holy Spirit to deliver God's message. Again, in our Reformed theology, we also believe in the priesthood of all believers, meaning each of you may be called upon to by God to deliver God's message to God's people. Now, no pressure, right? But it earns at least a pause in which we might ask ourselves, how do we discern what is a message from God or false doctrine or teaching? If you're not sure that God is still calling prophets in our lifetime, let's think for a moment about those who have spoken words that have been necessary to promote a change of heart within God's people. I think of Martin Luther King Jr. and his prophetic words that moved the rights of African Americans towards a more righteous way. I think about how today and in the coming days, members of the Southern Baptist denomination will meet for their annual meeting in Nashville, and most likely words will prophetically be shared regarding the ordination of women. As we live among the prophets of our time, how do we discern that their words are truly from God? What guidelines might help us determine whether their words come from God or their desires to lead us in the wrong way, or perhaps even cause harm to God's people? Well, one way to discern the words of one who holds a position to speak to God's people is to remember this guideline. God's presence brings a new way of life in which the way that people relate to God and to one another is fundamentally different. That means that God's words to God's people are never meant to cause division. God's words, spoken through someone else, has the end goal of bringing all people of God together. If someone is speaking or writing or believe that they are speaking for God, their words should bring people together. Their words should never separate the body of Christ. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 8, it reads, or verse 18, it reads, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise bring healing." God will not use anyone to share God's message so that it might pierce and hurt like swords. Now, will God's message get our attention, even make us momentarily uncomfortable? I think so. It's evidenced all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. But the end purpose of God's words, God's teachings, God's commandments are to only bring healing. Prophets speak to bring restoration. They don't speak to bring division. People in your life who are condemning you or someone else and not seeking reconciliation or restoration are not listening to the true words of the Lord. A second guideline to discerning whether a person's words are blessed by God is to ask yourself, are these words spoken in anger, with half-truths, or with an unwillingness to listen? Repeatedly through the stories of the prophets found in Scripture, God does not provoke the prophets to speak in anger or half-truths. There is no commandment from God to the one speaking to God's people to turn from the conversation and refuse to listen. Prophecies are shared in conversation between the prophets and God's people. Even God conversed and listened to the prophets who begged for mercy upon God's people. These conversations with God at times even moved God to reconsider his judgment. God's people who believe that they are speaking for God will not hide behind their words. They will share their words in the presence of the people that they are condemning. They will willingly be in the presence of those that they judge so that they might listen to all of God's people. So we need to remember that someone claiming to be speaking for God will be a person who listens to God's people. They will be a person who speaks not out of anger or conceit, but in love for all of God's people. And they will not listen to just one person around them, but will seek God's wisdom through prayer and in the voices of God's people and in their heart. Like Leah reminded the children during the children's chat, prophets are people who have allowed a seed, the seed of God, to be planted within their hearts, constantly creating an opportunity for that seed to grow, so that when they speak in love and not in anger. A third guideline to determine whether the one who speaks is speaking on behalf of God is to remember that prophets, like Isaiah, have their own human frailty. Long before they approached God's people with what the people needed to do to be right with God, they turned first to God alone and they sought their own mercy and forgiveness. Isaiah begged for mercy from God. He didn't boast about being God's prophet, but actually got down on his knees and he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone." Isaiah teaches us that the only mouth worthy of speaking for God is the one that has been cleansed by God. Something else that's important to remember and to consider is to remember that the men who spoke on behalf of God that we read of in the Old Testament lived in a community with God's people. They were often men who had been raised by the same people that they spoke to. So they didn't run away when things got tough, but endured whatever persecution they would experience because their hope was built on the strength of the Lord. I mean, think about how easy it would have been for any of the prophets to just leave the town and head anywhere else than to be with the people who had persecuted them, who had failed them, and who had made them sad. Well, there is Jonah, though, right? Didn't Jonah try to escape offering a message of repentance to the people of Nineveh? And, well, look how that turned out for him. In the end, he discovered that not only the Ninevites needed forgiven, but so did he. Another guideline about prophets in our midst is this, that people who proclaim to speak the words of the Lord, people who believe that they are right and others are wrong, these people, when they speak, use words that point others to God. They bring God's people back to God by whatever means possible. And the fruits of their labor are not to bless themselves or bring attention to themselves, but to be a blessing for God and God's people, so that God's people focus their eyes upon God. And finally, another guideline is this, that God's people who speak with a belief that they are speaking for God are people who use their tongue very wisely. The Apostle James writes, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Well, let them show it by their good life, by deeds done and the humility that come from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly and unspiritual for those who seek with selfish ambition. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first pure and then peace-loving, considerate, submissive. It's full of mercy and good fruit. It's impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next, and never two-faced. Now, I don't share all of this in this sermon today to scare anyone, but I think it's a good reminder for all of us when we are called upon to speak words through the gift of the Holy Spirit that it's not to be taken lightly. The good news is that we can develop a healthy and robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results. But we have to do the hard work of getting along with each other and treating each other with some dignity and respect. So as I, you know, shared with the lay pastors yesterday in class, that's how we can speak into kind of the public discourse all around us. When it becomes divisive, we continue to speak with love and graciousness, with dignity and honor. Because anyone speaking words into the body of Christ that is intent on dividing God's people, or unwilling to listen to God's people, or point to anyone or anything other than God, are not speaking on behalf of the Lord. Most often they are speaking for themselves. Perhaps it is wise for all of us to consider ourselves God's prophets, because when we see ourselves as God's messengers, our prayer and our intent is to reflect the one who has given us an ability and an opportunity to speak. Day in and day out, there are a slew of messages all around us. Even inside our church walls, we are not immune to messages that are said to hurt or confuse or divide God's people. And I know that most often our reaction when we hear these untruths is a desire to just rise up with righteous indignation against those we feel that speak incorrectly. And I won't argue that there are some moments that will require us to speak the truth towards those who speak unfaithfully. But we need to remember this. When God calls any of us to speak the truth, it must be spoken with love and with an intent to bring peace among God's people. That's the only way that we can engage in the public discourse around us. There is no promise that all will speak the truth in love, but the only words that we can control are the ones that come from our mouths. Zephaniah reminded God's people that victory will come when the Lord restores his people. The promise of restoration has been made true in the life, death, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. There is hope. There is deliverance. There is salvation for those who trust in him. And we can only move forward aware of our own actions and words as we help one another to remain fiercely accountable to God Almighty. Understanding this, accepting this, means that we then love one another and obey the words of our Lord and Savior, who also spoke these words: "What you say to one another is eternal. To God be the glory. Amen." If you can, please stand and join with me in our song of praise, "My Life is in You, Lord."